Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 76 of the O Woman Podcast. And we're continuing the series, Your Sexual History. So if you haven't listened to some of the other episodes about both positive and negative sexual situations that you've been in, sexual relationships, sexual experiences, I really encourage you to do so. And if you haven't listened to the episodes also about so many different things that can affect your understanding of your sexual self and your sexuality, like your parents' understanding of yourself, societal pressures, the idea that friends have as you're growing up or currently, I encourage you to check that out. That's episodes 75, 74. So keep going a little bit backwards and try to pick up the beginning of the series, because it really has a lot to say and it delves really deeply, which makes it valuable, into our sexual understanding of ourselves, which is going to be a great thing if you're someone who is just excited to reflect on your sexual past and you want to think about where you are and where you've come from, or if you're really looking to unpack some of the issues that you might be carrying in your life, whether really negative or just somewhat bothersome, that you might want to think about your actual experiences. You have to start there. So today I wanted to continue the lighter side of things. We started off talking about some of the more negative stuff that can happen, because this can't be ignored. This needs to be acknowledged. You can't just move on completely and imagine it never happened. You can try your best to move on and you can think of coping mechanisms. But if something negative has happened to you, you can't pretend like it hasn't happened, because your psyche and your soul and your body still knows it's happened. So you have a memory there. But today I wanted to talk about your positive stuff. So how positive relationship experiences shape you. Last time we talked about how positive sexual experiences shape you. And for a lot of the same reasons, positive relationship experiences shape you. So hopefully you had a positive relationship, your first real one that you felt was the first real one that you had an emotional investment in. You know, young love, first love, whatever you want to call it, whether you think it was really love or not, sometimes you can still consider that young love, because it's the beginning of you figuring out how to be in a relationship, how to really care for someone, what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to act, you know. And the really cool thing about a young love relationship, or the beginning relationship, is oftentimes it's with someone that you respect or that you kind of have been friends with, because at a certain point you realize, wait a minute, I'm now like sort of a grown up, and all these boys or girls or whoever you're interested in are now not just friends that I grew up with, you know, they're people that I could maybe like date, or I imagine myself sexually interacting with them. So it's kind of a new exciting thing. And it's not always the case, of course. There are plenty of people that their first love was, you know, this badass motorcycle boyfriend that they met who was 3 years older than them in high school. But some people also have kind of their first relationship or their first sexual awakening, really. It doesn't even have to be in a dating girlfriend-boyfriend relationship. It could be just you both kind of were really emotionally connected, whether you called it anything or not, and you started to learn about sexuality with each other and experiment with each other, or even just talk about it. And the really cool thing about these young love relationships that come from friendship is there's already some sort of innate understanding about being respectful to each other, in a lot of cases, if the person that you're trusting is actually a good dude or a good person. And having a first love relationship that kind of comes from friendship, and having any relationship, honestly, that comes from friendship, to me, is really one of your best bets for choosing someone that's actually going to give you a positive relationship experience. It doesn't have to be someone that you've been best friends with forever. It just needs to be someone that you realize you have a lot of ideals in line, you respect each other, you are supportive of each other separately from, you know, being in love or wanting to have sex, that it's not just only, you know, a physical attraction thing. And that is valuable. And I talked a little bit about that in the positive sexual relationships. But since I'm talking more about your relationship experience, it's some of the more emotional sides, I wanted to kind of focus on this today. The greatest thing about a relationship that's either one of your first ones or any relationship that you have that comes from a place of mutual respect and friendship, which really a lot of your relationships should come from this place, or at least very quickly grow from this place, not necessarily start in this place. The greatest thing about that is that there is trust, which is one of the most important, singularly, probably the singularly most important thing, influence, feeling that you have in a relationship that gives you the feeling that all is okay and you're free to be yourself and explore potentially weird territory, or just new territory. Because sex and relationships and love and growing up and whatever can be scary as hell. But if you have someone that you feel like is your teammate and your partner and you can trust them, even if they piss you off half the time, even if sometimes you annoy them, you know, whatever, there's still a trust issue that is there. You know that the trust is there. And when you're in a trusting relationship, that automatically is going to lead to a trusting sort of sexuality with each other. You have spent enough time with each other. You've been in a relationship long enough. You feel, you recognize each other's feelings and the way they think about the world. And you know that this other person is not going to take advantage of you sexually, hurt you, or try to get you to do anything that is uncomfortable to you, that doesn't feel good, that is hurtful, that's upsetting, or that makes you, that kind of demeans you, that makes you feel like you're less than yourself. I talked about in previous episodes the concept of erotic wounds, or this sort of split that can happen when people have really hard, upsetting, difficult experiences sexually that make them feel disconnected from their bodies and from their sexuality. They know, hey, this is my body, I'm living in it, but I don't feel the connection between myself and my sexuality. It's a dangerous territory that I either kind of need to ignore because of the hurt I've carried, or I, you know, kind of dive into it and I'm very sexual, but maybe I'm just still not really emotionally connecting to it. So having someone that you know you can trust in a relationship standpoint, having someone that you know you can trust to take care of you emotionally during sex, because that's a really big part of the relationship component and sexuality. Is you can talk about sexuality all day long, but if you leave out the emotional component to sexuality, you're not really talking about sexuality. Because so much of that is actually embedded in sexuality. You can't separate physical and emotional and spiritual, and I've talked about that on multiple occasions. But having a relationship that is a trusting one, that makes you feel free and open, and not worried about if you're good enough or any of that stuff, is going to give you a perfect breeding ground, it's kind of an ironic phrase, for learning what you want and for feeling empowered in your own body, which is ultimately going to immediately and indirectly down the road lead to feeling more empowered and connected to your own sexuality. So if you look back and you think, hey, I never had a relationship like that. All my relationships were a little bit disconnected, or I never felt fully secure in them, or I never felt like he or she really fully took care of me or made me feel safe or, you know, really fully cared about me, then you probably didn't get such a good chance to feel so free and open that you could explore whatever avenue of sexuality you wanted to go down, or like that you felt like you were allowed to request the time it took, the hour and a half it took for you to get to have an orgasm. Because this kind of thing, this kind of some of the peaks in sexuality, the really intense physical and emotional moments, you have to work towards those for so long until you get used to being able to do them. Like once you have orgasms, you realize, whoa, my body knows how to do this, I can do it. Or once you have cathartic, magical, emotional sex, you'll be able to recreate it again. But sometimes it's really hard to get there, and you have to have a willing partner, and you have to have someone who is going to focus on you and that you can trust. Another thing that seems kind of obvious, but you can't really overlook it when you're talking about positive relationship experiences, is the fact that you have had a partner before that I know you've been sexually attracted to. Maybe you've had a partner where you realize halfway through, you're like, oh crap, I'm not sexually attracted to this person, but I'm already in a relationship with them. I'm becoming less sexually attracted to them for some reason. It's just not working. Maybe you're not hormonally in line. Maybe something about their personality made you go, oh, I don't really like the way they look anymore. You know, how that can connect. But if you've ever had a sexual relationship, it's very, very likely that at least one of the people you've slept with, you've been really attracted to. And you cannot discount this as a positive relationship experience. Because, believe it or not, there are plenty of people that sleep with people that they're not actually that physically attracted to in the moment. They think of other reasons. They're thinking, okay, he's a great guy. He's really nice. He's funny. He's friendly. Maybe I'll be attracted to him later. I feel like I can trust him. He's a friendly person. But maybe still, after the fact, or you realize halfway through, you realize I'm not attracted to this person, but it's not so bad that I'm not like disgusted by them. I don't want to like stop having sex, but it just doesn't get me to the right place. And it's going to be really hard for you to feel sexually fulfilled if the person you're having sex with, you're not attracted to them. So please, if you've had an experience like this in the past where you realize I'm so turned on by this person, this is fantastic. If you've had that kind of experience, don't forget that that is a valuable experience that you can tap into the memory of that. Whether or not that's happening now, you can tap into the memory of that and remind yourself, I've had sexual experiences where I know my body is so into that person and my body maybe didn't necessarily do what I expected it to do. It didn't do what I wanted it to do, but I could tell, I knew in my gut and all my other body parts that matter in that situation that I was really into that person. So later down the road, if you're thinking, I'm just not attracted to anyone, or nobody's good enough, or I can't find anybody great, just think back to the fact that at least you found someone that you were sexually attracted to. It's going to happen again, and that has shaped you and given you the realization that, wait a minute, I'm going to be attracted to more than one person in my whole life. I'm going to be emotionally compatible with more than one person in my whole life. I'm going to be interested in more than one person in my whole life. And when you're attracted to someone, it's going to give you that extra desire to kind of go deeper with sex, to go deeper into the zone where you're really connected, you're really in sync, you're really focused on each other, so that sometimes you just don't even realize you've been having sex for 3 hours, or, you know, whatever it is. And that place comes from being attracted to that person, but also from trusting them in many cases. And you can get to that deep, intense space without necessarily being able to fully trust them. But when you look back on the sexual experience, you're probably going to think, I don't feel like I actually was unfettered. I feel like I had some things holding me back. I couldn't fully be myself. Another thing to keep in mind about positive relationship experiences, whether or not you're in a relationship now, or if you're just looking back on your life and thinking, how have I gotten to where I've gotten with my relationships and with my sexuality? Another thing to think about is that over the course of our lives, we choose relationships that are right for us in the moment, whether they're actually good for us, or if they're going to be a really good lesson for us in the future, or if they're good for us at the time. Like, maybe when you're in college, you had a relationship that was kind of a fling relationship with someone that you really cared about, and it was what you needed at the time. You couldn't, you know, feel like you could settle down. You couldn't focus on one person, but you had kind of an off and on relationship that was still a caring one, that taught you about the value of friendship, honestly, because when you think of a person you have a fling with, sometimes they're your friends. Or they become your friend later when you realize the relationship isn't going to be, you know, a soulful, loving, forever kind of relationship. But be able to look back on your past and realize where all these relationships came from. Of course, there are negative ones, and I've already talked about that. But there's a lot of positivity in relationships, and there's a lot of positivity that can come from negative ones after the fact. Looking, the ability to recognize what wasn't good about the relationship, or the ability to recognize traits in certain people that were really beneficial for you at the time that you want to find again in someone else. That doesn't mean you want to find that person you dated. That doesn't mean that. It just means that you picked them for traits, for certain reasons that they were special to you, that they were kind or good or something, or even more specific traits, like they have a beard. I don't know. But if you look back, you can think, I'm attracted to men with beards, for example. I don't know. So I'm going to remind myself that, hey, this guy over there is really cute. He has a beard. So I remember that that is something that's actually kind of really important to me sexually. So I'm going to go talk to him, you know, or he's a kind person. I overheard him talking to his friends, or I know him through a friend of a friend. He's kind. I'm going to go talk to him. This episode isn't meant to be, you know, dating advice, you know, or how to go on a date or what kind of person to pick. But if you look at your past and you think about your sexual history, what it really is a big long journey that involves choices you've made and making the right choices for you and learning from the choices that weren't the best or things that were done to you that were not your choice and reminding yourself it's not your choice. It was not your job. The other person was a bad person to have done something to you that you couldn't make a choice in. So it's not meant to be dating advice, but it is meant to remind you that every decision you've been a part of or made or experience you've had influences you today. And if you look at it from the right place, there's a really great chance it's going to be a positive learning thing for you. So overall, the really great thing about positive relationships or aspects of relationships that were positive for you, because not all relationships are utterly positive nonstop. There's some negative stuff that goes on, but you learn from it and it makes you closer or it makes you decide you're not supposed to be with that person. But the biggest thing that these positive experiences have over time, especially if you recognize them as positive, is they instill a sense of confidence in yourself. They give you a deeper understanding of how lovable you are, how special you are, and they remind you that your self-esteem is something that should always be there. You should always have it. It should always be cut on and happy and ready to experience new things. And something just as simple as I can have relationships, if you're thinking this, I can have relationships where great things happen to me, whether it's just part of the relationship, it's not all of it, or if it's all of it. But I am a person that can have that. I have had that. Or I've seen that in other people. I know that that's possible. And ultimately, if you think of it that way, then it reminds you, you are a good person and your body works the right way and your emotional self works the right way. You're not broken. You're not messed up. You're the way you're supposed to be. And that kind of leads you to think, okay, if I can have a good relationship experiences, I can have good sexual experiences. Because they gradually connect. So I just need to think about how I want to get that done. I just need to think about taking care of myself, looking out for myself, asking for what I want. You should check out one of the first episodes I did that talks about learning how to ask for you want, for what you want. So think about that and how there are so many positive relationships or so many positive experiences inside of relationships that you've had, whether you've recognized it or not. So think about that, and then think about how that's going to guide you in the future to make decisions that you want to make about your relationships and your sexuality. The next episodes I'm going to do, I'm going to talk more in detail about fighting for your best sexual self. So like actual strategies that I would employ, fighting for your best sexual self, and choosing things that are the best for you so that all aspects of your emotional, physical, sexual identity are cohesive. There's not that sort of psychic disconnect anymore in your beliefs about your sexuality and yourself, and some of the erotic wounds that you might have from your past can start healing. Thanks so much for listening to the show, as always. I want to remind you to check out the Facebook page, A Woman Podcast on Facebook. Go to the website, awomanpodcast.com. You can check out all the past episodes if you go to episode archives. You can leave a comment. You can check out the resources on sexuality, on childbirth, on relationships on the side. And go to iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes, check out the episodes on iTunes, download them from there. And please rate the episodes. Give me some stars so that iTunes recognizes what's going on here. Thanks so much for listening, as always, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.